Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. What's up, friend?
Hey, how's it going?
Change it up. I just went straight to like, what's up, friend?
I know. I wasn't prepared. That's why I was like, ugh,
you caught me keeping on the spot. You on your toes.
It's fine. Not a whole lot. It's, you know, we are midweek through the week. Not even what it's only Tuesday. Ooh,
I know.
It has been the longest first 2 days of work. Anyways, no one wants to hear about that.
Oh, I know what I did this week. Sorry, we were just talking about what did we do this week. And I'm like, nothing.
Well, because we're recording like 4 or 5 days after we recorded our last episode that we just put out. So we haven't had a whole lot of life happen in between.
We started homeschooling.
You did. You guys started early this year.
Yeah, we had some travel plans this year, and we traveled, you know, last school year, and my daughter ended up doing summer school, like math through the summer, because we took time off, and she didn't enjoy that, and I didn't enjoy that, and so I was like, why don't we usually start after Labor Day, so I'm like, why don't we just start earlier, so we can take some time out, and it's only been 2 days, but so far, so good.
How's it going?
Everybody's still alive.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So it's really good. I got my kids in, like, so far, they haven't been in a ton of extracurriculars because they were so young. And I'm like, we have friends, we have play dates. Like, I don't see the need in busying ourselves. Like, I try really hard to protect our family time. But this year, because Emma's in fifth grade, where did that go?
That's crazy.
Middle school next year. And Ollie's in second. And so I enrolled them in like a homeschool PE program. And then Emma is taking piano and she's like really excited about that. So
has she had her first lesson yet?
No, it starts this next week. I got her book, her piano book in today. So it starts this next week. And so she's really excited. She's going to get her, she has her musical year from her daddy, not from me,
right?
At all. So,
but you played piano, didn't you?
I did, yeah, I did, but it didn't come natural. I had to work at it.
Yeah, like,
you have some people who are just naturally gifted, and then there's people like me who had to practice for a really long time.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm really excited about though?
What?
This interview.
Yes.
That we have. Because it's really good.
It's really, really good. We just finished it, actually. And so we're recording this after it. We have our friend. Well, my friend, now your friend. We'll say that we're all friends now because you
like her.
Met her. Brittany Allen. And we had an opportunity to talk about the theology of suffering and just what she learned. She's gone through a lot of suffering in her life, and specifically this one, the one that we kind of focused on a little bit more in this conversation was her pregnancy loss and losses, I should say.
Plural.
Yeah, she had multiple. And so just to hear her, like I said it in introing, but her and I went to church for a few months together, and that's where I got to know her. And one of those things where we just continued to keep up on social media and things like that. And I just really treasure her, her words and her viewpoint and just how she speaks about God in the midst of suffering and what she learned and how God drew near to her. So we really hope that you all enjoy this conversation with Brittany Allen. Today we have a friend of mine that I knew from going to church together with her for a few months. Her name is Brittany Allen. Brittany, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. We're really excited. And today we're going to talk about the theology of suffering. And Brittany is a writer and a mom and just a wonderful person that I would encourage you all, if you do not already follow her on social media, to follow her. She is just a great shining light for, and her words of wisdom always stop me in my tracks. So I wanted to allow you to introduce a little bit more about yourself and kind of get into your story.
Yeah. So I am Brittany and I am a wife and a mom, like you said. We're actually coming up on our 10-year anniversary in 2 days. So that's kind of exciting. Yeah,
that's really exciting.
I know. And by the way, congratulations, Kristen.
Oh, thank you. I was going to say it's going to be a few years before we hit 10, but two and a half months.
Yeah. So that's a really fun milestone. And we have two sons, who one is almost 4 and the other is 1. And then we also have 3 babies in heaven. And I've been writing for about 10 years as well. And I'm an author of a forthcoming book. So I don't know if I'm allowed to call myself an author quite yet, but I've written the book.
You're much farther along in the process than either one of us are. So we're calling you an author. You are.
It's crazy. I still can't believe it. But that book will be coming out sometime in the next year or so. And it's about kind of the gifts that God gives through the grief of miscarriage, which is part of my story, obviously. And before we had our boys, we sadly experienced recurrent pregnancy loss. So we actually lost 3 babies in 1 year. And I just learned a lot. Like, this topic is so dear to me because I learned so much about suffering, about grief, about just the wrong views I had. And just, it really refined my theology of suffering.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that, when we talk about suffering that we tend to struggle with is, as you said, our incorrect views of God. Can you talk through a little bit about what were some of those incorrect views that you had and kind of how did he change and refine those and show you actually who he truly is?
Yeah, so I think during this time, it ended up being kind of a time of unlearning things, like unlearning some just really wrong views on suffering and grief, and really shifting my views to align more with what God's word says. So I feel like often in specifically Reformed circles, or Calvinistic circles, there can tend to be, okay, so we love the truth that God uses suffering for our good. Like, we love Romans 8:28, and I love that verse too. I love it even more in the whole context. But I feel like sometimes we end up calling the suffering good and almost making like the thing that we're going through, the grief, the loss of our child or the loss of another loved one or whatever it might be, chronic illness, like whatever it is, we kind of make that as like the good thing that God's doing in our life. But really it's just, it's a thing that the Spirit is using to produce good things in our life, but those things themselves are not good. And I don't know that anybody would like specifically say miscarriage is good, but it's like the way we talk about suffering can tend to show that underlying belief. And so I think instead of really like focusing on that, I learned to focus on God's goodness, because he is good in the suffering. And like that truth doesn't change. And specifically, I really feel like it was the first time that the truth that God is my good shepherd really just settled into my heart. So I'm going to talk about like what scripture says about the good shepherd, if that's okay. So
yes,
John 10:11 says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So we see here that the good shepherd laid down his life for us. John 10:14 says, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. And I love that verse because it reminds us that he knows us intimately. Like he knows all the feelings that we're wrestling with and all the struggles we have. And that can just be such a comfort because we know that he loves us because he laid his life down for us. We also see in John 10:28 that the good shepherd gives us eternal life and protects us. Like no one will snatch us out of his hand. I love that because when you're in a time of deep grief, it can feel like your faith is going to fail or like, you know, the grief itself might snatch your faith out of his hand, but he sustains our faith. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I feel like I got to witness that as I walked through that. And then the last verse about this is kind of a twofold thing. So it says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. So that's the first part of Isaiah 40:11. And just thinking about Christ holding us near to his heart is so comforting for all of us who are going through suffering. And then the second part of that verse says that he gently leads those that are with young. And I think here, like, it's easy to be like, just thinking about miscarriage, like it's easy to be like those that are with young, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm losing babies, but I think it does apply. Even those who are losing babies or struggling to conceive or anything like that. But I just love that he gently leads us. Like he's not like dragging us along or like pushing us, or like he's carrying us and leading us forward. And so I think like for the first time it was like, okay, like God is good, but he's good to me too. And he's gentle with me and he's ever present with me. And I think that it just really, like I said, just settled into my heart. I don't know if you guys have experienced things similar to that. I have lots more of like other things I learned, but I'll pause there.
Yeah. So for our listeners, Brittany and I literally just met just like five minutes ago. So I'm getting to hear her story for the first time as well. And so Brittany, all about me is my husband and I lost twins. We miscarried twins, and my experience was, we often talk about how God is like this transcendent God, and he is so big and he is powerful and over everything. And we oftentimes forget just how imminent he is too, and how close and near to the brokenhearted that he is, you know? And then my experience in the church, was not this idea of lament. Lament was not a thing that we did. It was more of like, if you were real and raw and honest with God, it was more of like, you didn't trust him, or it was this joy and sorrow and all of these things could not coexist in this area, I guess. And so like, I knew scripture, I knew what was true, but in the midst of my suffering, in the midst of hardship, adding on like emotional pain and everything, I was really fighting to believe what I knew to believe true about God, you know? And so one thing we say all the time on this podcast is that we want to shout things in the light so we can whisper them in the dark when it's really hard, you know? And so our whole first season of this episode was, or of this podcast, was the attributes of God, and how when life seems to be going easy and you're up on a mountaintop, that we need to know those things that are true about God. So when you're in the valley, like the Spirit can bring that to reminder, hey, like, I'm still good in this. I still see you. I'm mourning and I'm crying with you, right? Yes. Like Jesus himself did that. He lamented. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted, like scripture says, he was acquainted with our grief, you know? I'm just curious, three in 1 year. I'm curious, was lament ever a thing that leading up to this that you practiced, that you were aware of? Because like, it wasn't for me. It wasn't until I was like in the trenches that I was like, man, like lament is a gift for the believer, you know? I'm just kind of curious how that was for you in those like that dark night of the soul that you experienced.
Right. Yeah. I didn't think about lament much, which is interesting because I, like, over the course of my life, I've been through a lot of horrible things. And we don't have to get into all that, but just came from like a horrible childhood, and lots of really terrible, various types of suffering. But it was the recurrent loss specifically that really drew lament out of me. It was a grief like I had never felt or experienced. It was death happening in my body. Mm-hmm. And that made just a mark on my soul. Which I'm sure you can understand, and I'm so sorry for the loss of your twin babies. It's really, really grievous thing to go through. And I also was in a church that was very much lamentless, and I would say has a pretty wrong view of what it means to suffer as a Christian. And and we can get into that more as we talk about other things. But so I think lament kind of came natural to me in private, but I was very much felt judged for it in public, in church, if that makes any sense.
100%. That does make sense to me.
And
I just was also going to say, as you're talking, I was thinking about Jesus and his example and how he wept over Lazarus with, you know, Lazarus's sisters and friends and family and all of that. And yet he knew what was going to happen. Like he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus, and yet he still was moved and grieved with them. And so I think like when we're going through suffering, often, and we may have even done this for other people, the temptation is to like kind of hurry it along or to like be like, God's doing something in this, like this, you know, like he's doing something and that's so encouraging. But like even God took the time to just weep with those who were hurting. Yeah. And he knew what was coming. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say it was, just you talking about maybe lament not being taught well in the church or modeled well. Both Shanna and I come from a background of more of like the legalism side of it. And just I'm trying to use kind words, but just the all out, like
unloving,
you said, trying
is a
to
word, we'll
unloving,
say.
Yes, the unloving way that it can come across, like you said, to hurry people through their grief, and that the first thing out of a lot of people's mouth is, well, it's all in God's timing, or, oh, it's, you know, this will happen when God, you know, and are those things true? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But making And I use this word a little bit with a little bit of cringing, but like making space or allowing people to grieve, like you said, and not hurrying people through. That is, that's hard. It's hard to do when you're sitting across from someone who is grieving.
Right. Because you want to like help them, like you want them to feel better. And that's a good thing. It just can be harmful. And sometimes we want them to feel better because it makes us feel awkward, mm-hmm. which is something that 100%. I think probably all of us have struggled with and we can grow in. Can I read a quote to you that I read today? It is
yes,
so good. It's by Kelly Kapick. I don't know if that's how you say his name.
Yes.
It's from Embodied Hope, and it just goes so perfectly with this. So he says, "Any who have truly lived and loved must come to believe that lament is at least part of our existence. Only the idealistic and unloving belittle tears and sadness. Only the coolly detached never raise a complaint about the condition of things, including our broken bodies. If we never lament, then it is legitimate to wonder if we have ever truly loved." Mm-hmm. I just was like struck by that today, and I totally put it in my book. So hopefully my editor will keep it. I have a whole
keep it, editor. Keep it.
Keep it.
But yeah, that book is really good. But I was really struck by that quote. And I was thinking about in regards to miscarriage. Like the reason we grieve is because we left. And that's like, that's showing God in us. Like we grieve what God grieves. And that is a mature, good thing for a Christian. And yet I think you guys might relate to this, but I feel like I came from a church that it was viewed as weak to grieve a miscarriage in particular and really anything. And truly grieving what God grieves is maturity.
Yeah, that's really good. I know, because specifically in my specific situation, I remember not knowing what to do with my feelings. And so Kristen, our listeners have heard this. And I remember one time I was just so frustrated and like, I'm on my knees. Like it's very vivid in my brain, like in my bedroom, like just weeping. And I just took my Bible and I just like threw it across the room. Like I was just so angry. Everything was raw. And I remember specifically recounting the story to someone and them saying like, I'd be very careful with how you handle God's word. And I'm like, in the midst of all of this, like, that's what you're focusing on, was that I threw my Bible across the room. Like, that's what you're focusing on. Not my heart, not sitting with me. That's, you know, and so I have lots of stories like that, or I'm just like, it's just not helpful. And so one of the things that we would really love for you to talk about is, maybe was there anything that was helpful that the church did, and on the flip side, unhelpful? Because we want to encourage and help, and like in this broken world and this journey that we're in, we're all going through like sanctification and trying to become more like Christ, and we want to weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And sometimes there's helpful and unhelpful ways to do that, you know? And I've been like, I remember as you were talking, or Kristen was talking specifically, and my grandparents passed away, my mom's parents, and man, especially my grandfather, he was in so much pain. Like he was miserable. To like, death was a gift, you know, which we would never call death a gift, because death is not natural. Like that's the result of sin. So, but at the time, like being with the Lord and out of his broken body was better. And I remember specifically my mom crying, and I said that to her, and I'm like, now looking back, I'm like, that was not helpful, Shanna, like at all. I love you, mom, and I'm sorry. like we all grow. And so I have definitely done some very unhelpful things. And so I would just maybe like to hear your heart, like what were some unhelpful and then also helpful things that we can do to really just love and support and come alongside those who are suffering.
Right. So I think I'll start with the not helpful, and then we can end on a good note.
There we go. I love it.
So I think, I mean, there were small things like, you know, often for when a baby is born, there's meal trains and things like that. And like all three of our babies passed without a single meal train, which was fine. It's just something I've thought about in regards to like the future. Like I want to be that person to provide that for someone who is in that if they want it. I think when somebody is grieving, there's always going to be careless words that they hear, and as you just shared, and just like a lack of grace with the wrestling that has to happen when you're walking through suffering. But I think specifically there are a lot of unhelpful things specific to miscarriage. So I heard a lot of like, you'll have another baby, which is really great when you keep losing babies. A lot of women, and myself included here, at least it was early. At least you can get pregnant. I heard at one point from a Christian, like maybe God was sparing you from a baby with a disability, which is really revealing of how not pro-life we are, just as a culture and even in among Christians. So I really had to learn to give a lot of grace in that area. And also learn like when to confront in a gentle way, loving way, and when to just kind of like let the comments pass. Because I think there is a place for actually like talking through with somebody like, hey, this is actually really unhelpful. And here's why. So we've already kind of talked about just some of the views I was kind of around during this at my church at the time, which I do not go there anymore. But I was really, there were like high expectations, and kind of a wrong view of suffering among a couple of the elders in particular. And unfortunately, I know now that what I experienced was spiritual abuse in regards to my miscarriages. And so just was told things like, you know, you're too downcast during your miscarriages. And this was, you know, when I was pregnant with my oldest. So, and I was like 9 weeks pregnant, so it was very early still. And I was told that I cried too much during worship, and that others suffered more than me and handled it better. I mean, these were like direct quotes spoken to me from leadership. And as you can imagine, like this deeply wounded me. And so that's a big way. My church in particular, certain people in my church were not helpful. Also just they weren't really there, like they didn't come pray with us. I don't know, like they're just it felt like we were just kind of this problem, like we don't know what to do with them, you know. We know what to do with a woman who miscarries once and then goes on to have a healthy pregnancy. We don't know what to do with this type of suffering. And in some ways, it's like, I get that. How can you know? Even just, you know, like you can't know what it's like to have a miscarriage unless you've gone through it, like truly. And so there is grace for like lack of understanding, but unfortunately, yeah, those were some of the things that occurred that were not helpful. But one thing that I think is important when you're going through any kind of grief that I learned as well is just that there's always going to be unhelpful people that do hurtful things, whether or not they mean to, but it's not usually helpful to focus on those things. And so I really tried to focus on those who did come alongside us. And so I had like mentors and close friends who were bringing us meals occasionally and were coming over and just sitting with me and grieving and just letting me talk about my babies, cleaning my kitchen, like, you know, just, so there were people who were close to us. And I think that makes sense. Like you're the people that are closest to you are the ones that are going to truly be bearing your burdens. So those were the ones that were really helpful. And then also just women who had experienced it kind of, even though we weren't close, we became close because they came and shared their story. And yeah, so I think that was what I tried to focus on.
That's really helpful. I think I think when you're in the midst of grief, you don't see it. But when you look back on it, I can look back on just that really dark time. And I can see how like there's nothing wasted. Like the Lord has made beauty from those ashes. And whether it's me walking alongside someone else and being able to comfort those in the way that I was comforted, you know? And so I don't know, I mean, you're talking about a book that you're writing because like this is something that's really on your heart because it seems to me, I don't know you that well, but it seems to me that you're coming out of this, like finding God most beautiful, you know, like he drew you to himself, like in a way that maybe if you didn't experience those things that you would not see him in a way that's different. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? And so I don't know, I was going somewhere with that question and then I just totally sidetracked myself. This is why Kristen's really good at editing.
She gets lots of practice.
I was going somewhere with that. Oh no. Oh yeah. Your book. That's where I was going with that. You can leave that in, Kristen. I don't care.
probably will.
Your book. Yes. So the Lord, through your writings, and Kristen, I would love to, in our show notes, put her website on here. Cause man, I was just reading through some of your stuff today and I'm like, what a gift the Lord's given you. But there, have you seen ways, whether it's through your books or through your writings or whatever, that you have been able to really come alongside people and comfort them and point them back to what's true, right, and good, you know? Cause you know, when you're in grief, man, that's like prime for the enemy to be like, I'm going to tell you lies about you that you're going to believe right now, you know? And right. So would you just maybe talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I was sitting in church. This was a couple, I don't even remember. It was sometime before we started trying to have children. And I remember my pastor at the time preaching on Philippians, and he was talking about valuing Christ above all. And I remember just praying silently to the Lord, like, I know that I don't value you above all. Like, I know that there are things in my life that I cling to more than you. And I just prayed that he would cause my heart to value him above all. And really, through these losses, God did a lot in my heart, but one of the biggest things was causing me to let go of things of the world and treasure, like seriously view him as the greatest treasure there can possibly be. And so I feel like that was just the biggest gift, was just realizing the gift himself, like Christ is the greatest gift through that we receive through suffering. And he's the true treasure. So that no matter what is taken away from us, even though babies are such treasures, right? I know that even more now than I did when I was walking through that. Like now that I have two children, like, man, they are such beautiful gifts. And yet God exceeds that. Like he is so much more. And I think that season just really instilled that in me. Not that I like don't ever struggle with, you know, dealing with idols and stuff. Of course I do. But I just feel like it instilled a greater love and trust in him. And yeah, so that's a big part of why I wrote that book.
Yeah. And I love that. I think, you know, when you come out on the other side of suffering, and sometimes it's a long time, there's no timetable on that, you know, but being able to point others to Christ being the greatest treasure it's really a gift, I think. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to your book coming out. I think that's it's going to help a lot of people specifically. You know, I think talking about miscarriage and recurrent loss makes you feel yucky because you don't know what to do with it. You don't know, like, I can't tell you that this is all going to be okay. You know, like I can tell you one day God's going to redeem it all. I can tell you that, but I can't tell you that you're going to have a healthy baby in your arms. Like,
right. People want to do that, but they can't.
Exactly. Right.
And like, well, obviously I do not have kids and have not experienced loss. I felt the same way with singleness, right? Mm-hmm. That people desperately wanted to tell me like, oh, you'll find someone. And I had to get to the point, like you said earlier, like gently and lovingly telling some people like, mm-hmm. you can't guarantee that. Like, do we want that? Mm-hmm. Yes. But you know, 4 years ago, I was like, you can't guarantee that I will be married. Like, and so I think in the same way, like people want to be able to guarantee that, yeah, you're going to have it because our view of God's goodness is what we deem should be good.
Right.
We think, well, I think that it's good to be married and to have children and all of these things. And they are good things to desire and they are good gifts. Mm-hmm. But we think that that means that God, if God is going to be good, he has to give those to me. And I think trying to balance those two or be able to understand that God's goodness, he is still good, even in the suffering, like that does not change
because he's unchanging.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's so important for like attributes are like one of my most favorite things to sit and talk and discuss with people, because I mean, you got to know who God is for in moments of suffering. And I think, you know, like one of my favorite, I have a lot of favorite attributes of God because he's the best, but one is that he's compassionate, you know, like he sees, he cares and he acts. So it's not like he just sees and he's like, you know, turns his back or whatever, but he cares about your suffering. And then not only that, but he acts in it, you know, like he's constantly acting and like drawing you to himself. And so that's one of my favorite things to remember is that like, he's a God who draws near to you in your suffering, draws near to me in my suffering. Like as we are recording this, I'm still grieving the loss of like my grandmother, who was like one of my best friends and helped raise me and like a mom to me. And then, and so I have moments like that grief comes in waves, you know, and I don't know that that will ever stop. I know God's good through it. I don't know how you can go through 3 miscarriages and it not change you, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it does change you. I think it's learning to live like in the new normal, like in God's way. Does that make sense? It's right. Not, I'm not the same person I was before I lost my twins. I'm not. Yeah. And so I don't know. This was also not on the questions that we asked you. So thanks for being super flexible as we're talking through this. I think I just have one more question, Kristen, unless you have something, but I'm just curious. Yeah. I have a couple of friends who have lost full-term babies. I have some who lost babies at 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, you know, if you were to like have something that you were to say to them that they could cling to or hold on to, was there anything said to you? Was there something that you, the Lord, the Holy Spirit just revealed to you through this that you maybe could share to a listener who might be in the midst of this themselves right now?
I think the truth that I think I clung to the most was just probably multiple truths than one, but that Jesus weeps with us. And that, so I feel like a lot of people want to focus on the sanctification piece of suffering, but I think we do ourselves a disservice when we focus on that. And so I think I would say, like, yes, that's good and right and true, but also like God is also drawing near to you through this, like just simply giving himself to you through your suffering and through your loss. So you don't have to search for the reason or the why behind why this is going on, because that's a mystery to us. And we, you know, I forget the exact chapter and verse, but in Deuteronomy somewhere, it says like, these things are revealed to us, but the secret things belong to the Lord, and they don't belong to us. And I think that's actually a grace to us. And so just being willing to go to him and lament and just be in that, be content in that mystery, knowing that he is good and that he is drawing near to you and weeping with you. I think that is probably the biggest point I would want to get through to someone.
Yeah,
that's and so was helpful for me as well.
That's so good. And that will preach too. I need to remind myself of that, like the hidden things, you know, like you don't in such a time where we just want to have everything figured out all the time. And there has to be a why or a reason for everything. And I think that's, that's really comforting, is that we have a God who is indescribable and so vast that we can't understand him. And that's a gift, because I wouldn't want to serve a God I could understand all the time and know everything about, you know?
Yeah. Well, and like, it's, would the why behind it even comfort us?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I think that's another thing I came down to, is like, I don't know that it would change anything. Like, God's still the same. And so that is where I'm going to find my hope and my comfort, not the whys behind my suffering. So, but it's hard. I mean, we're living in the already but not yet kingdom, and the not yet is hard. And it's heartbreaking. 100%. And so I think it's okay that we wrestle with those things.
You said my favorite thing.
Absolutely. I know.
Already but not yet. I say that all the time, because it's such like a yucky place to be, you know?
Yeah.
But it's where we are. Yeah. God's so good to meet us in that space.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I want to have you back, Brittany. I could just sit and talk to you forever.
She's like, all right.
I love this. I feel like I was so nervous.
No,
but you guys just like, it was so natural.
That's great. That's good.
This was so great. By the way,
I saw you had Jen Wilken on here, and I was like, why do they have me on their picture? What?
No.
Friend. And Kyle Worley, get out of here.
I go to, really? It helps that I go to the village. So
she goes to the village.
Really? I do. And so it helps.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sweet. Can I tell you an awkward Jen Wilken story?
Can I share your awkward Jen Wilken story?
Sure. She probably will remember me.
Share.
So yes. So at the last UGC Women Conference, I love her. She has had such an impact on my life, but I got a little too fangirl. And so like, she walked by at one point, and I was like, I don't even remember what I said. Like, I love you, Jen, or like, I don't even remember, but it was so awkward, guys. Like, and I am forever embarrassed and wish I could like just hide.
No, stop it. I'm surprised she didn't like shout, I love you too. That's like a very Jen one.
Probably
that's
would.
Like a Jen. It's a Jen thing to do.
Yeah. I feel like I'm just this fangirl, and she thinks that I'm the most. And like, maybe it's just awkward that I even think she would remember me, you know, like,
you're like, I don't know. I think She's obviously one of my favorite people, and just the things that she has done for the church, not just women in the church, but just for the mm-hmm. Big C church,
yeah.
Bible literacy, getting, calling people to love God with their hearts and minds. Like,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
she's the best.
She's been very impactful to a lot of women, but I know people probably, again, we always joke that we should have like a bingo card because there's certain recurring themes that come up,
and Jen me, Wilkins, every time
Jen That's Wilkins' really funny. Impact on us is one that comes up often because we both have,
yeah,
like that is a very, very deep topic for us. So,
well, I have forbid myself from further interactions with Jen.
Come to Texas, come visit.
Oh, just not, man, right now.
I wish that would be so fun.
Really hot.
Just not right now. 112. Not right now. Don't come. Right. Save yourself.
I'm a summer girl, though. That sounds wonderful.
There we go. Well, Brittany, okay. Thank you so much for taking the time from your evening and sitting down and talking to us about this. And we might have to think through, and if there's another topic that you love to talk about, we'll have you back on, because this was truly delightful and wonderful to hear your heart, not just on, as I'm reading it on my phone, as I'm scrolling through or different things like that, reading your blogs or your articles, but also just to hear your heart. So thank you.
Thank you. I would love that. It'd be fun.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.